from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast, post-game versus the Coyotes. The Rangers lose in overtime loss by a score of 3-2. A game that felt like we were really out of it in the first period. I know we got the two goals by Tony DeAngelo. But this team, we have got to get it going, man. And the head coach, to me, Dave Quinn, has got to get it going for this team. And we always make these excuses all summer, it's pretty much in the off season to get things acclimated, get the team going with the players, and it's just there's really no set of excuses as far as the players that we brought in, the high priced free agents. Now the Lions have got to play better, and over the last week it's been a disaster. Start after the 2-0 start, after the staggered schedule as far as the last game in Ottawa, then headed in to the games versus the Devils, the Capitals, the Canucks, and now the Coyotes. You only got 1 point out of the last four games. It's pretty much not going to get it. It's not going to get it done in today's NHL. This team has got to play a lot better as far as on the ice with the shifts. Got to play a lot better as far as in between icings and taking these stupid penalties. It's really frustrating to watch. I mean, this game tonight was all the games, honestly. Even starting last Thursday versus the Devils, like all these games between the Devils, the Canucks, the Capital game, especially the Capital game. I mean, as far as the penalty kill, terrible. Just everything was just very disgusting to watch. Rangers losing in overtime. Pretty much didn't even have the puck in overtime. Borjak getting the game-winning goal for the Coyotes. I mean, well, it's not like we even had a chance to even put a shot on goal. Even in the first period, the Arizona Coyotes set the tone. They set the tempo as far as putting the pressure. They came to play tonight. The Rangers, after the intermission, actually started to get back into this game as far as Tony DeAngelo goals after tying up the game with the goal by DeAngelo, and then he got the second power play goal. But the Coyotes were the better team tonight. Matter of fact, every team in the last week has been better than the Rangers. And there's got to be answers to this, man. We're going to bring on Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, Elite Sports New York. RP, man, what is going on, man, with the Blue Shirts, man? I'm really frustrated. What's going on, sir? How's everything?
Oh, good evening. Except for the fact that the Rangers lost another one. Ugh. Hello? Hello?
Hey, what's up, man? Well, talk to us, man. What did you see, man? Talk to us about the game.
Well, look, and the Coyotes aren't even supposed to be really that good. I mean, I thought the Rangers, they held in there. But, that overtime goal, that's got me. I thought maybe they had a chance to block it. We started out good, but now we're falling back behind again. We were up to a 2-0 start in the season, and now we just collapsed. What is it? Our offense is bad? Is our defense is bad? I mean, and our rookie, who was a second overall draft pick, not as what he's cracking up to be either.
Well, that's true about Capo Cascar. He's been very, very quiet. He's a young kid, and he just has not gotten it going. Well, it's not just him, but it's just a lot of everybody on the bottom nine has not got it going. If it's not coming from the top line, if it's not coming from Zibanejad, if it's not coming from Panarin, if it's not coming from Buchnevich, and it goes back to everybody else that's got to contribute offensively. I mean, you got it from the defenseman tonight as far as scoring-wise. At least Kako got one assist out of it, but as far as offensive goals from the bottom nine, it's just not happening with this team, man. It's been terrible, Lou. Stay right there, Lou. We're gonna bring on RP. RP, talk to us, man. We got Lou with us. But like I said, man, it's been a frustrating week since the double game, the Canucks, Capitals. I mean, every game I could pick so many reasons with terrible turnovers. It was the same, actually, the same old story over and over again. But just setting the tone tonight, the Coyotes came out. The Rangers, let alone, couldn't get a goal. They couldn't even get shots on goal. I mean, they were fanning wide-open shots, RP, tonight. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're just in disarray right now. They just there's a hell of a lot more wrong than going right. It's every area. It's coaching. It's the players. It's the anticipation and of what people thought they were going to do and what fans thought they were going to do to what we're at now. You know, you dropped five games in a row, and I know they got 1 point out of it, but they lost 9 out of 10 points and. You may not make the playoffs or win the Stanley Cup now, but they're really going to be regretting losing all these points right out of the bat here. It's really tough. They just seem lost out there. It doesn't matter what line combination. I mean, guys, when Anthony DeAngelo is leading the scoring for the day, things are going really bad. And it's not they're not getting some effort, but their first periods, the last 2-3 games, have just been horrendous. But look at all the shots they're giving up. That's not just on the defenseman. That's five-man units. That's everybody on the ice's responsibility. It's not just the two defensemen on the blue line. These guys are just playing bad. And, I mean, things can only get better, but the question is when. I mean, Gorgiev played outstanding tonight. I mean, the overtime goal he had absolutely no chance on. So you can't blame him for that. But I don't know. I got to tell you, Steve, watching these games, you know, you don't need to go over any of the games individually. Because they all seem to be the same. As you said, bad defense, not a lot of scoring. I mean, granted, they came back in the Vancouver game, but you can't get outplayed like that in the first two periods. You just can't get outplayed like that. It's just, it's ridiculous. There's no need for it. And what's happening now is now the players are playing frustrated and they're all squeezing their sticks tight, you know. Then Vanagard had that great start, but he scored 4 goals in the first 2 games, and now he all of a sudden he can't score. Panarin only has 1 goal in the last 5 games there. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of pressure on these guys. I personally don't think David Quinn is helping himself. His line combinations and the way he's using some guys are just dumbfounding right now. And you know me, Steve, I'm not one much to criticize a coach and all. I try not to, but man, I just don't understand – fast on the first line, and what was Strome and Brandon Smith almost every other shift in the third period? They had so much ice time. I don't know. I don't see what he's seeing. I just don't see how you think you're going to generate the kind of offense that you expect with that line and with Fast on the top line. And I'm not knocking Fast, but he's not a top line player. You reward Fast on the first line when you're knocked out of the playoffs and you want to reward a guy for breaking his ass all year. In October, Jesper Fast has no place on the top line. Might just be my opinion, but until they prove me wrong, I just don't see it.
I mean, we talked about this in the offseason, RP. I mean, these line combinations with Jesper Fast, I know we like him and all that, but the fact that he's on the top line, like, what is that message, are you saying to somebody like Pavel Buchnevich? What is it saying to even other guys who's capable to play with the Panarin and Zibanejad as well? On top of that, everybody else has got to pick up the scoring. And Lou, who's on with us, has even admitted, and I agree with him, like the frustration of the lack of defense and score. It's a two-way street. But Chris Kreider, it's everybody. I mean, Chris Kreider to me is kind of having a mental block or something. It's like you can look at the body language of the shots he's taken. It's like there's no confidence in him. Just a lot of the guys on the team. That if your name is not Artemi Panarin or Mika Zibanejad, the scoring has come in at a premium right now for the Rangers. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to watch, man. And then on top of that, it's rubbing off on the lack of defense, RP. I mean, I know you don't want me to go game by game, but it's the same situation.
It is, and it's a weird situation because sometimes it's, I don't know if you're gonna, how do you say it? I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is going to come. You know, the thing with Kreider, let's call it what it is. We've talked about Kreider's inconsistencies his entire career with the Rangers, going from visible to playing really great to being mediocre in the middle. And I know he's struggling, and I'm not taking away that he's not trying, because obviously they're all trying, but he is struggling. Let's just call it what it is. Since this season, I don't know what the coach needs to do to wake him up, to get him going, but the man is struggling, and it's not a lack of effort, and I know people might be saying that. That's not what it is. Whatever the reason is, he just cannot catch a break. He just can't. But you just look at the game tonight, and I'm not picking on Jesper Fast, but I'm looking at his numbers. The man played 17 minutes and 54 seconds. He had one shot on goal on the first line. Now, I'm sorry, but on the top line, you got to be getting something more than that. Now, granted, Panarin played 22 minutes and only had two shots on net, and Zibanejad had only one shot on goal and played 24 minutes. These guys are playing a lot of minutes and not getting a lot of shots. So what's going on? You know what I'm saying? That's where you need to start looking at. As a team, they didn't have a lot of shots on goal. Understandable. But these Panarin and Zibanejad, those are all leaders out there. And as great as they were playing early in the season, and I know people are saying I'm crazy, I truly believe they need to separate them too. You know, sometimes you can't have your best guys all on the side, on the top line. Yeah. Maybe on the power play. Maybe with 5 minutes, 6 minutes down a goal in the third period. Absolutely.
Right.
But on a normal basis, you don't see Crosby and Malkin together all the time. You don't see Tavares and Matthews together all the time. You might need that balance. I don't know why he won't go back to the line that worked so well last year and get Kreider, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich back together. Put Panarin with Kako. And put Anderson on the second line. What is this burying Anderson for 7 games now? For 7 games, the guy's getting no ice time. He played 734 minutes today. Where is playing the youth coming from? How does Anderson play 734 and you play a guy like Brendan Smith, 1146? How is he getting 4 more minutes? It just blows my mind. It's just he had no shots on goal today. So I don't understand it. You know, there's a lot of – you could handle or I could handle them losing if you thought they were putting their best foot forward and putting the best line combos out there. And obviously the coaching staff sees a lot more than we do. But you got to start moving it around totally different. And people are saying, oh, I wrote a story today and I was getting you crazy to put Panarin on the second line. Does it matter what line you're on? If you're producing, you're going to play. We had that years ago when AV was the coach and the fourth line was almost as good as the first line and everybody was rolling it out. Remember, Steve? All the time.
Absolutely.
I just don't understand the theory of how it's going or what they're looking for. But you're telling me that you're going to keep Brendan Smith up and keep Jesper Fast on the first line and Anderson gets no ice time. I just don't see it. And I know and Kako, now it's becoming a head game with Kaapo Kakko. He only played 9 minutes of the game. He only had 56 seconds of power play time because they took him off the top power play line to begin with. And I think at one point in the third period, he only played 3 shifts for like a minute and 30 seconds. In the whole third period up until the 5 minute mark. The team's not scoring and you keep saying you want to get him jump started. How do you get him jump started if you don't put him on the ice? How is Smith getting more time than Kako? Which doesn't make sense. It doesn't. But Kako had 3 shifts for a minute and 37 seconds at the 5 minute mark of the third period. Anderson had 3 shifts for a minute and 57 seconds at the same point. There is something wrong there. We're not playing. If you talk about playing the kids, and then you're not playing any of the kids offensively.
Yeah, it's all over the place. It is all over the place.
It's all over the place.
Because you got Yahido and Kratsoff and Harford giving them, say, well, they need valuable ice time. Then you're talking about then you have Kako, his minutes decreasing, even though he's the number 2 pick overall in the draft. And His minutes are starting to decrease. And then why is it he not? I mean, you're not going to send the number two over. I mean, you could, but why would you do that when you should give him this valuable ice time and let him learn on the fly, you know? And you have guys like you said, with like Brendan Smith, like why? What is the plan as far as the combination of lines and then especially with the center pairs? Like as we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, as far as who should be playing with who and how they should be benefiting with the skills. But the argument or the rationale we said is, well, we're not at practice. They must know something better than we do, but the plan is not working.
Yes, again, yeah.
That's just clear.
No, the plan is,
it is not
off.
Working.
The plan is, and if you look at the defense now, let's just show that it's not just about the kids or not playing the kids, because on the other side of the blue line, he's playing Hayek and Fox a lot of minutes. I mean, Hayek played 19 minutes today and Fox played 15 minutes today. They both played a solid game. Neither of them were minus. They played really well today, I thought. So it's not that he doesn't want to play the kids and he doesn't trust them. I don't know if he's overwhelmed with the rotating four lines. When I say he, I mean Quinn. Or what the situation is. But you can't say, well, he doesn't want to play any of the kids, because Hayek and Fox, and for that matter, D'Angelo, who's been in the league 3 years, 4 years now, but is still a younger guy, getting a ton of ice minutes. A ton of ice minutes. So it's a little confusing. Is it him struggling with the confidence of putting four lines together? Is he listening to too many people? I don't know what it is. But he sort of has it worked out on the blue line, at least for this game. Minutes were very, very even amongst all the defensemen. D'Angelo had almost 19 minutes. Shea had almost 20 minutes. Hayek had a little over 19. Fox had the least at 15. Mark Stahl played 20 minutes. And Trouba had 22, almost 23 minutes. We're not including Smith because he's a forward, even though he's under the defenseman categories here. So you can't say he doesn't want to play the guy, the younger guys, or he doesn't have the confidence, because on the defense he does, or he's allowing it if Lindy Ruff is calling it, whatever you want to have it. So it's a very frustrating thing to see him throw this line combination today, and they still barely produce. The forwards produce no goals today. So it, in my eyes, it didn't work. They didn't have a lot of shots on net. I mean, later in the game, obviously they did, but they struggled. The Rangers only had 19 shots on goal, and they had outshot 35-19. And for the period,
that's
believe,
a bad game.
Excuse me. Arizona did nothing in the third period, shots on goal wise. They only had like in the third, Arizona had three shots on. Arizona had five shots on goal. How do the Rangers win this hockey game with only three shots on goal in the third? And only four shots on goal in the first. All right, so his line combos failed again. Now, that's a combination, Steve, of them all squeezing the sticks. Now they're all starting to think too much. Instead of just keep shooting the puck and it'll go in eventually, now they're trying to make these fancy plays. You can see it. It's the one knock, I guess, to Panarin and Zibanejad. And Trouba, when they're all out there, they love these long stretch passes in the offensive zone, these bang-bang goals. They were going in the first two games like there was no end in sight. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's picking up on it. The goalies are cheating. The defensemen are leaning the other way, and they're preventing it. So I just think they need to just change their lines and then lock them in. This feels like Alain Vigneault's coaching the Rangers right now. He's changing lines every other shift in the third period. He's changing lines game to game. You're not going to get any chemistry. You're not going to get any fluency if you don't find four lines and stick with it a little bit. You cannot constantly be benching guys. All right? Everyone's playing bad. No one is playing to their potential since the second game of the season. So I don't understand moving these guys around. I have trouble having Brendan Smith and McHaig both as forwards. Taking an entire line. It's taking the entire – they could say whatever they want. Today's NHL isn't set up to have a Brendan Lemieux, who I'm not knocking at all, but a Brendan Lemieux, a McHaig, and a Smith all on the offense. A Lemieux, absolutely. But now you're putting two of these other guys that are similar, though Smith isn't as aggressive. You're losing a whole offensive line that you're struggling in offense to find. So,
yeah.
You know, this
but
is
you
going
know,
to RB, have to be
your... You're right about that, and I get loose points as well when I bring him back on. But as far as like the totality of all these individual players and having Brendan Lemieux getting him the acclimated time and get him comfortable, even through this stretch, all the Rangers, for whatever reason, individually and collectively as a unit, they've had their struggles offensively, defensively over the last week. But you're right. I mean, as far as the McTagg and – I mean, there's so many issues going on offensively, defensively. I could nitpick this whole thing. We could be here for 2 hours. Lou, RP went through a bunch of defensive lapses, offensive woes. Anything else you'd like to add, Lou, before we go back to RP on what we saw tonight versus the Coyotes?
Well, like I said, they gave it a good effort, but I think our defense is just too weak right now. Even despite the fact that we have, you know, some good players, but still not enough. Luckily, though, it's earlier in the season, so I'm not in a panic mode right now.
I mean, I agree with – I'm with that, man. I mean, RPA, to his point with the defense, I mean, 21 shots – we can start from this game, go back, work our way backwards to the Canuck game, the Capital game, the Devils game. The defense – it's the same thing we've been seeing, even in the Lane Vigneault teams. We said that, okay, we're going to add Jacob Trouba, and my issue wasn't really necessarily in signing Jacob Trouba, RP. It was more about the core of what was Rangers hockey in its playoff years. It's not the same. If the core is rotten, the defense is terrible. Yeah, we got away with it. Maybe the adrenaline opened tonight versus the Winnipeg Jets. We scored a lot of goals, and that was a good start. And we beat up on a bad Ottawa team. And then the rationale was, oh, well, the Rangers, they haven't played in like a week. That's why we lost to the Devils. Okay, we played back-to-back nights. Then you saw an experienced veteran Capitals team pound on us defensive, you know, with rebound shots. There was a lot of rebound shots in the last week. All the teams, you know, the Canuck game, the Capitals game. Like, there's no fighting for the puck in front of the net, especially on a penalty kill. Oh, we're taking a lot of stupid penalties. We could talk about Ryan Strom about that. Panarin, even bad penalties with Panarin. The defense, like Lou said, RP, I mean, it is bad, man. I mean, and then can't explain 21 shots on your home ice coming off a loss and what you saw Vancouver do going up 3-0. This is bad defense, man.
It is. But unfortunately, we've said that. You know, you have – Trouba's been playing lights out, in my opinion. I mean, he had another strong game today. He had 3 shots on goal, had a couple of blocks. He played 22 minutes. He had a minute and a half on a power play. He played almost 5 minutes shorthanded. He wasn't on the ice for any goals against. He's playing the hockey we wanted him to play when they traded for him. Defensively tonight, the defense, I thought, had a solid night. If you look at the numbers and you look how the players played and so forth, yeah, there were some mistakes and the team's making mistakes. But we lost 3-2 in overtime. The Coyotes were 1-for-5 on the power play. So in the regulation, they only gave up one even strength goal on 35 shots. You can't really blast them tonight. In the Vancouver game, in the Washington game, they were outplayed. But defensively, they're not a core. As a core, they're not strong. You can remember, you have two rookies who are still learning. You have an elder Mark Stahl who's playing great, but how many more minutes a game are you going to play this guy? Okay, that's 3 guys right there. Tonight, D'Angelo had an outstanding game. The last 3 other games, he was not even in the ballpark. And you got Brady Shea, who still hasn't stepped up to where we want him to be. He's getting the minutes, and he's playing on the defensive side well, but when is this offensive spark going to come out that we've been waiting for since they drafted him? They're not a strong core unit. Now, they will get stronger as the year goes on because you got to anticipate Hayek and Fox getting better and better as they're playing more and more. But right now, in these key elements, the offense has to come back and help the defense more, and that's not happening. There's just too much running around all over the place. There's too much uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much thinking.
I agree with that.
There's too much thinking. You got to play the game. You can't be thinking about what you're supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be a lot more fluent. And, you know, with the exception of Devonajon and Panarin, you don't really see it. Kreider looks lost. And before we go anywhere else, Kaká was playing the way an 18-year-old NHL rookie player is after his seventh game. There's been a real knock on him lately. He should be sent down. He's not playing well. He's playing fine. He's got to learn his way like every other player.
Mm-hmm.
He does. It's too early to even be looking at him playing bad or on him. It's just too early. It doesn't matter that he played in the Finnish league with men and all. This is the NHL. It's the best players in the world. It's harder. And he's learning that, and he's going to be great. You're hearing that interview he gave in that Finnish paper today, the things that he said, that he wants to be the leader. He doesn't want the excuse that he's new and he's young. He said all the right things, and he's going to get better as the season goes on too. So, yes, I'm giving him a little bit of a pass, because you should give an 18-year-old a little bit of a pass, especially with the team struggling the way it is. But what I want to know is, where is everybody else? You know, we said Strome had a nice assist today on McKeag's goal, but he's been invisible. Howden's done absolutely nothing. Anderson hasn't gotten a chance to do anything. Lemieux.
So you're hitting the core of what I'm saying.
But there's no answers.
What I'm saying.
See, that's what sucks. There's no answers right now. There really aren't. The only thing that can
the
change
the playmakers.
Aren't playing.
The playmakers for these forwards is not where it needs to be right now. You're saying Strom. You're saying, you know, like
Howden,
Anderson, like
Strom,
Howden. And there you go. The playmakers for these other scoring, like it's been top heavy. We even identified it when we got the 4 points in the first two games. The top line has carried us. Where's the rest of the scoring? And to me, and this is where I said me and you identified this as far as. As the centers playing with the right force for those right skill sets. And B, and it goes back to what I said about the defense, I look at this Coyote game and, like, the energy. This goes back to the head coach. And all the jib-jab and effort and all the stuff he was talking last year as far as we're going to bring effort, we're going to be old school, and you're going to be deducted minutes if you don't play defense. Well, I could point out five cases alone. As far as lack of defense, lack of effort, giving up cheap goals, and I have not seen – not only have I not seen some of these players not disciplined for the terrible play defensively, they've been rewarded with more minutes. Where is the consistency in the message from year one to year two? I'll give you a better example as far as scheme. Like – look at the first period. We know the Coyotes they played like they wanted to play. They played to win as if the Rangers they were out last night all in Manhattan. That's the way they play. But here's the problem what I have is when the Rangers were in attack mode, when they did actually get through the neutral zone, when they were actually trying to pick a push, it seemed like the Coyotes had a game plan. They had a defensive trap for anything offensively the Rangers wanted to throw at them. That's what I saw out of the 3-4 shots on goal in the first period. Because every time the Rangers crossed that blue line, there were at least three Coyotes attacking at the first, you know, at the first line, like, say, Panarin, or let's say even Kreider. Even Kreider had trouble getting off shots. Even when the Rangers had shots on goal, like, for instance, Brandon Lemieux, I don't know if you remember it, right before the end of the first period, he had a wide-open shot attempt, and he shot the puck wide. This goes back to having offensive finishers as well. I mean, anybody can miss a shot in the NHL, but you got to at least put it on the goalie, you know? I mean, if you go back to the New Jersey game, even some of the shots that went in, like went off of Gorkyov, it went off his mask and trickling underneath his legs, at least got to put it on the goalie. Sometimes some of these shots are not even getting to the goalie. Like, we're shooting high, wide, and all that. Like, the aim is terrible. So I look at the defensive schemes that we're not playing as a unit defensively. It's like it seems like we're just being out there. It's like when the Arizona Coyotes did one of the whenever they were shooting at the net tonight, especially in the first period, they got very, very deep into the zone before anybody checked them. Versus when the Rangers versus when we try to get on them, we had to work for everything. I mean everything tonight. Just to get a shot on goal, you know? And to your point, and this goes back to what you said, if Tony D'Angelo is leading the team in scoring, we're in deep trouble. And that's not a knock against Tony D'Angelo. That means we're not.
That's a knock against everybody else.
Right. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
But, you know, and you look at, you just look at some of the line combinations, strictly in the third period. He moved Smith up to the third line and dropped Lemieux. And I'm just reading some quotes from Quinn as you were talking. And he was asked about what happened with Kako's time on ice in the game, and he said it was just the flow of the game. And then he mentioned that he cut it down to three lines at the end. What he actually did was he cut it down to just eight players in the last 6-7 minutes of the game. And who are those players? Panarin, Zibanejad, Fast, Kreider, Howden, Buchnevich, Stroman, Smith. How is an Anderson and Kako, how are they going to learn? If you're going to lose these games early in the season, I want Kako and Anderson in those minutes, not Fast and Smith. And I'm not knocking Fast, but he's just not a goal scorer. And you cannot expect in a tight game, in any other circumstance, on any other team, tied 2-2 in under 5 minutes, and you're double shifting the first or the second line, would you expect the Jesper Fast to be there or Brendan Smith? Hell no. So it looks like Quinn is causing more chaos than needs to be. By putting those guys out there, and he had Fast and Kreider rotating on the top, on the right wing, between the first and the second line, you're taking away from what Panarin and Zibanejad can do. You can't just keep – it's not Sandlot hockey. And I understand he's looking for a combination, but, you know, we may all think the Lions suck. But keep them together for an entire game, especially if you're 2-2. Especially if the other team only has 5 shots on goal in the third. You can't just keep flipping it around all the time, not knowing who's out there. Chemistry is huge. Look at all these other teams. We're not just talking about the Rangers. Look at any team in any league. You need to find chemistry. Seems like they found a little bit of it on the blue line the last couple of games, but you have absolutely none on the forwards. So, you know, it's hard to blame all these guys if the coaching staff is going to continue to change lines on a whim. It shows me that he has no faith in a lot of the players. I mean, it's actually proven if he's keeping Smith in there, even ahead of Haley, who's a natural forward. So I just don't understand it. I don't see it. I just know that the Rangers can't keep dropping games. I mean, Buffalo Thursday night is going to be a tough game. They're second best team in the league right now. They're not the old
Buffalo
Sabres.
Yeah, they've been rolling.
They've been rolling.
Yeah,
they've been playing good hockey.
They're wrong.
They're gonna come in hungry, Steve. They're gonna know the Rangers are bleeding. Let's be realistic. They know the Rangers are gonna be a hurting club, and they are a hurting club. I mean, you can't. It's the only constant, and I know Hank struggled a little bit in the Vancouver game, but came on strong. Their goaltending's been pretty good, but you can't expect them to steal wins when you're giving up 35 shots on game, a goal on game. I mean, he made 32 saves, 33 saves tonight, and he still lost. That's a tough pill to swallow, too, if you go give. You know, tonight, I didn't think he let in any bad goals tonight. I mean, the overtime winner was a gorgeous shot by Dvorak. It was a gorgeous shot. You can't take away from that.
I mean, it's up to for the fact that we didn't even have as if we were playing with NFL rules. We didn't even get the puck back. You know, they closed the game on a 3-on-3,
That was it. They got their one line change in, and they had three tired Rangers out there, and he. But let me tell you something. It was a perfect. Even Micheletti said it. It was almost an unstoppable shot. It's still a loss, right? And now you have the 8-1-1 Buffalo Sabres, which is crazy to hear, but they're coming in, and they're going to be steamrolling through. These guys are playing really well, and now the Rangers got to look out because. What do we talk about now? If you used on Thursday night, you've lost 6 in a row and gave up 11 out of 12 points. Now you're really going to start hearing things. It's a lot of points. You know,
What did you say about all the penalties drawn?
That the Rangers are drawing or the Rangers are giving up?
The ones we're drawing as far as the ones. We're going into the penalty box. We're the ones committing
a lot of silly passes. Buchnevich took, 2-3 of them tonight? I mean, if you're going to have anything in the knock on him, he took a couple of tough penalties. A lot of these little hooking penalties, or trying to slow the guys down, it's because they're always a step behind because they're not playing. They're thinking about what's going on, and it's evident. It's evident, and a lot of them are lazy penalties. And you know something? That's another reason why a guy like Anderson isn't getting ice time. You take 5 minutes and five penalties, you're shorthanded 10 minutes. It's half a period you're sitting in the box. It's just all bad. You know, this is worse than last year because of the optimism. Because everyone thought that – I told you that. I still don't believe that they were a playoff team when the season started. And this isn't an I told you so moment. But last year, everyone expected them not to do well. And it was a little bit more manageable. This year, once Panarin and Trouba got signed and everyone decided the rebuild's over and the building up of a stronger, better, faster team is over, and now everyone's melting down. It is what it is. You know, there's not a lot of good things to say right now because there just aren't a lot of good isn't a lot of good hockey going on. Individually, there are some players playing well. You know, Panarin always seems like something's going on when he touches the puck, even though he hasn't scored a lot. Zibanejad kind of lost that hot touch that he first came on, but he's still getting his chances. The rest of them, not so much. But like you said, Steve, even when they won the two games, it was all top-heavy. It was all the first line. So if you think about it, for the last seven games, although Panarin and Zibanejad are probably the only two that have been as consistent as can be.
Yeah, they got to get that going, man.
They haven't jump-started at all. When does the time come that these other guys show
now.
Up?
Now. They got to start now, things. Dude.
Well, something, you know, you can't say it's been a lack of practice time because they have that entire time off. Now, the schedule's not going to get any easier, and now you're already way behind the eight ball. I mean, it's tough enough to be sitting in last place, but you're losing ugly. Last year, I thought they were competing more. Here, they just seem to be making a lot of little mistakes, and it just keeps piling up. It keeps piling up. And
What about this? Strategically, me and you, I think we've been on the same accord as far as lines and who needs to play with who. I still believe what we said earlier. We need to get guys like Anderson to play a guy like – put the fast guy with the fast guys. I mean, why not get – the second line going with Kreider and Kako. I said, you know, we said this before a couple of weeks ago with Anderson. If you're gonna learn on the fly, you're gonna learn why you're gonna make these mistakes. Why not play the youth with the youth and with the eager veteran and Kreider? Like, what we got to lose with not doing that? We talked about as far as okay, we know that you know Strome, if you want to put him in face-off situations, he's better at that. But it's evident, you know him drawing like some of these penalties in some of these games, even last week or over the weekend. The bottom nine has just offensively, it's not there, and we got to create. We have to create scoring now. So. That's what I say as far as personnel goes. And then also defensively, I'm thinking about like Lenny Ruff and David Quinn. Like, what about what's the plan? Because it feels like when teams come and attack us, we don't have a plan. I'm looking like it's like we're all over the place. I look at the games versus the Capitals. I look at the games versus the not the Vancouver Canucks game, because I think they was just missed opportunities. Sometimes that just happens, even though I think we're still the better team, but sometimes that happens. But, like, the Capitals or, like, you play other teams, it just looks like they have a defensive – they have a plan defensively when you're coming into their zone. Like, they're going to stop you. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have it all set up. Like defensively, at the lines, neutral zone. I mean, some teams attack at the neutral zone, some teams attack at the circles or at the bump, or some teams attack at the blue line. But when I look at the Rangers, it don't look like no plan. It's like they just get so deep, and our goaltenders are just on their heads spinning, making plays. And it's like, why are they getting so deep? Is that part of the plan? And that's part of the plan. That's a stupid plan. I don't agree with that plan. Like, where's the defensive plan, and then what's the plan as far as offensively getting these guys going? Because it's not – I'll be honest, they're not the best scorers, but we could do better than this.
Oh, I agree. I mean, look, I wrote a piece today.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they need to start over. I just think they need to start over. I think you need to shake them up a little bit, too. And what I put in it, and some people think I'm crazy, and some people actually liked it. I think they need to recall Hedl. I think they need to recall Booney Evs. Get Smith out of the forward position altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And for that matter, I would if you're going to play McCaig 4 minutes, 6 minutes, you don't need him in a spot. And I went back with the old one. I thought Stefanović should be centering Kreider and Buchnevich. I want to see Panarin with Hedl and Kako, Lemieux, Anderson, and Fast, and Strom, Haddon, and Boone, and the Evs until Kravtsov's ready to come up. Why? You get more experience in the lineup. Boone, the Evs had played really well for the Rangers last year. Great fourth-line player. He could play center. He could play a wing, wherever you want to put him. He scores some goals. He's played on the Quinn all last season, practically. I think if I had to choose, I would rather have Booney Evs over McCaig and Haley. Personal opinion, maybe it is. I think he plays better. I think he plays more aggressive. I think he's faster than both of them. And I think the coach would use him more. Okay? Howden going down to the fourth line center isn't a demotion like everyone thinks. He's had his time up on the second line and hasn't rolled out. If you're not going to put Anderson up on the second line, then bring Hedl back and get him back up there. Now, that's going to put an enormous amount of pressure on Hedl because he's only played 6 games at Hartford. But he has been scoring. I think he has 7 or 8 points already. So maybe it's a little early, but maybe the team needs that little injection. And I think he would come back hungry. Guy played up here 75 games, let's just get sent down. He's got to have a chip on the shoulder when he comes back up. And I just think you got to keep trying. Not constantly changing lines, but come up with line combos and give it a little bit of time. But you need to keep some balance between the lines. And I think after the first 2 games and the great run that they had, they're scoring, maybe you should split up Panarin and Zibanejad. I mean, you can always put them back.
You can always put them back.
Panarin's speed with Kako, I think, would be awesome. Kako's got great hands. He handles the puck well. He's an excellent passer, and Panarin's the same. And if you don't want to put Hedl on that second line, then move Anderson up to it. Can it hurt? You've just dropped 5 games in a row. Can it hurt? Nothing should be off the table right now. Nothing should be off the table. And what do you do with Brendan Smith? Well, if you're not going to make him the seventh defenseman, then you got to send him down.
Hold on, let me ask you this about him.
The Rangers only have 21.
Well, let me ask you this about him, because, like I said, about accountability with Dave Quinn, like, I didn't see it as far as press conference interview, Dave Quinn, as far as, did he say anything as far as Brendan Smith's mistake in the Vancouver game, the costly turnover? I always talk about puck management. First of all, win the faceoff. If faceoffs, and then, you know, control the puck, secure the puck. The Rangers have terrible turnovers in their own end, setting up easy opportunities. And one of them, like the Brendan Smith one in the Vancouver game, I didn't hear anything. Maybe you did. Did Quinn?
No,
he,
I heard
to
nothing.
Your knowledge, he didn't bring that up. See, this is the BS. So this is where the fans actually have a valid rant. They have a valid complaint as far as getting on Quinn. And we talked about Quinn is going to make guys accountable, which I thought he, for the most part, did last year. It's off to a terrible start, man, because you can't fool these fans, man. You really can't. We're a very sensitive fan base, and we nitpick at everything, but your words versus what's happening on the ice and the accountability of not taking action to certain players who are not doing their job on just a simple hockey plays, you have got to call that out, man. You know what I'm saying?
But I think with the problem with that, with Quinn right now is he's being too critical. Like, I'm just reading another quote. He was asked about using Smith over Lemieux at the end of the game. And he said he thought Lemieux had a tough night. Smitty had been consistent with his effort and his energy. We ended up taking a penalty because Lemieux ended up turning it over. And he's played well for us, but I just thought it was one of those nights. You can't bench a guy and penalize a guy every time he makes a mistake either. Because you want to know something? Just because Smith's energy is good, hey, just the fast energy is constantly good. There's nothing but the puck in the net for you. In a 2-2 game lead, you want the best six forwards that can score. And you want to know something? Lemieux can be one of those guys sometimes. And Lemieux should definitely be in the top eight in a tight game. So we turn the puck over. Like you said, Smith's made a ton of mistakes. And let me ask you this. So if you're unhappy with Lemieux's play, you're telling me you're not willing to give Anderson a shot who can score goals over Smith?
Thank you. That's
something.
What I've been saying.
He just doesn't like Anderson. He just doesn't have – I shouldn't say he doesn't like it. Let me take that back. He doesn't have the confidence or faith in Anderson. And he has too much confidence and faith in
now, how
Smith.
Is that – hold on. How is that communicated to Gordon? Like, if he doesn't have the faith in him, I mean, he's not going to play in the minutes, then why is he even
– I think it's a communication by time of ice. I think that's how it's communicated. I don't think Quinn – I don't think Jeff Gordon says – well, if he's even saying this after seven games, which he probably isn't, why aren't you playing Anderson? He's not going to say, well, I don't trust him. He's not going to say that. He's not, because you're right, then why keep him up? You're
right.
Not going to think he had a great training camp. He earned his way out of training camp to make the squad. He beat out Hedo. He beat out Kravtsov, if you really break it down, you know, number-wise, player-wise. And now all of a sudden he's not. You're telling me he's not good enough to take a shot on the second line center over Brett Howden? And I'm not knocking Brett Howden, but Brett Howden isn't you know knocking the socks off the thing. He's not overwhelming. Brett Howden played a total of 13 minutes tonight on the ice. In the third period, he had 3 minutes of ice time. He earned double the amount of ice time as Elias Anderson did tonight. But he didn't do nothing either on the ice. So, and like I said, I'm not knocking him, but if you're looking for a spark, and if you want to look for something different, then you got to change these guys that you've been kind of ignoring. How is Anderson on the fourth line the entire season when almost every other player has had a shot at a different line? Every player has. Strom's moving around. Maybe McCaig hasn't, but he's fine. But Strom's all around. Buchnevich has been up and down on the line. Fast has been up and down on the third line. And Anderson hasn't earned an opportunity to move up. I don't get it. And let's not say he's going to light the place up. He's probably not. But I think he's better than having Smith up there. And like you said, what does it say to their character when Brendan Smith's getting more ice time than you as a forward position when he's a defenseman? It's telling me you think I suck. Because there's no other thing you could take out of this. You can't tell me that Brendan Smith is out there for his penalty killing prowess, and that's why he wants him on, in the lineup on the floor.
Where do we rank right now as far as the PK right now? Where do we rank right now? I would assume very low because it just seems like some games, man. We just like the Devils game. We gave up one or two, maybe in the Capitals game. Where are we with the PK with the special teams?
Trying to look that one up quick for you. Off the top of my head. Oh wait, it should be right here. Hold on. The Rangers are on the bottom of most categories. There we are.
Okay.
Penalty killing percentage. They are. You guys aren't gonna like these numbers. Hold on, one more second, guys. Let me get this.
Yeah, that's fine.
The penalty kill is at 28. That's not that bad. Oh, it's actually not that bad, Steve. The penalty kill percentage is 77%, which on
about
a ranking
middle of
level,
the pack?
18th.
It's about middle of the pack
in the league.
It kind of stands out. Maybe it's more. I'm magnifying more because we're not getting the even strength goals to offset the mistakes we're committing or whatever. So maybe that's the way I'm looking at it. So the Rangers probably as far as drawing penalties, we're not. The even strength goals has really been a struggle because outside of the Winnipeg game and then the Zibanejad hat trick, and then. you know, we had a 1-0 lead, and then we gave up a couple of those goals. See, we've been trailing. That's the problem. Even when we were trailing in the, we were up in the Winnipeg game, we would come back and we took the lead. But over the last week, we had a quick lead versus the, you know, D'Angelo had a goal versus the Devils, and we gave up a couple of get back, and we kind of been trailing in that game. The Capitals got off to the early lead a couple minutes into the game, and you already know what about Vancouver. Sure. And then tonight it's been an onslaught of shot and goals by the Coyotes. So that's what it is to me.
Well, they've
man.
Only
we gotta
scored.
Start, we got to score, man.
They've only scored 19 goals in 7 games, and the first 2 games, if I'm correct, we scored 10. Right?
Yeah,
they won.
Yeah.
They won 6-4 against Winnipeg, and what was it, 4-1 or something like that? I don't have it on me, but against Ottawa. So that's 10 goals in the first 2 games, and then the next 5 games after, they've only scored 9 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that coincides with the shots on goal, which has been so low for the most part. So the Rangers aren't, and it's not that they're not shooting, they're not getting scoring opportunities. They're not getting high quality,
right.
Forget high quality shots. They're not getting many shots. And that it all comes from that whole flow that, you know, Quinn keeps alluding to where at all his press conferences, but he's sort of not helping himself get the flow. You know, a lot of it has to do with he's not getting the job done chemistry, or he's not getting the job done finding the right combination already, or being patient with something. Look, you could have the worst combos in the world, but how about you give it a couple of games before you keep changing it and keep changing it and keep changing it? It didn't work with AD. It's not going to work with you doing it. You're supposed to be the patient one, especially with the young guys. So right now, the Rangers got a lot of work to do ahead of them. You know,
I agree, right, man.
Nothing is going. There's nothing going right now. It can only get better. It can only get better.
That is the upside. I mean, that is the upside.
Well,
it can't get
you know,
worse. Something, it could get worse.
You know, if you want to look at scary numbers, they only have one more win than the Ottawa Senators, so that's not good.
No, not at all.
Any way you want to look at it, Ottawa's played 8 games and then won 6-1. We've played 7 games and we're 2-4-1. That's a problem. And we've only scored 2 more goals than the Ottawa Senators, which is ridiculous when you look at what's on our line. When you look at the team on paper,
yeah,
they should be scoring a heck of a lot more goals. I mean, they just should be scoring a heck of a lot. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, since the last episode we did, I mean, I give it a grade, man. The Rangers, get an F, man. Straight up F, man. As far as, you know, no points. We said at least 4 points out of those 3 games. We got no points out of that. And then you got, you know, starting with this, you got an overtime loss, so that's 1 point. And then you got Buffalo on Thursday. You got Boston on Sunday. And then, of course, we have a post game next Tuesday versus, you know, these are home games, man. We got to get some wins at home, man. We got to get it going, man.
You didn't say who they were playing next Tuesday. Aren't we playing the Lightning?
We're playing Tampa Bay post game. Yeah, post game.
There's another 3-game set that the way they're playing right now, they could very well drop all 3. Buffalo, Boston, and Tampa. Not that they're going to.
The top teams in that division.
The Rangers are going to be playing some hard games to start here. They went from playing no games to getting thrown to the dogs, and they just don't look prepared.
I mean,
you know, individually, there's a couple of players that always play well. You know, you're going to get your best out of Zibanejad. You're going to get your best out of Panarin. Truba's been outstanding. I can't really complain with Hayek and Fox. They played really well. You know, they're learning. I really can't complain with Kako, although he's not getting nearly the ice time. And maybe that's for the best. It's hard to tell right now. But some of these guys that I thought would be doing better, obviously Kreider, Strome, Howden, Invisible. You know, Strom's had some moments here and there, but more downs than up. I mean, he great pass tonight under D'Angelo goal. The first goal or the second, whichever one it was. It was a beautiful, beautiful pass in the crease. That was the second goal that D'Angelo tapped home. But some of these guys, you have to sit down and look in the mirror and go, what do I got to do? I mean, let's think about this. This is Kreider's contract year. And I know it's only 7 games in. But, you know, it's almost a tenth of your season knocked out of the way already, and he hasn't been impressive at all. He needs to get jump-started. I don't know what they need to do to get him scoring, but the longer it goes, the less his confidence is going to be there, and that's never a good thing.
Right on. That is true, mate. Final thoughts from Ranger Proud. It's been a terrible week with our team. We got the top teams in the Atlantic coming up in all home games. I say one ship at a time, but, hey, dude, anything you got for us for the final thoughts before we got our post game next Tuesday versus the Lightning?
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've said so much. I just, you know, something, they're going to battle through it. It's got to get better because it's not going to stay at this level. But, guys, this is the kind of season we're going to have. You might go now and win five games in a row and then drop six out of eight. It's going to be one of those seasons. There's a huge learning curve here, experience-wise, playing-wise. So just got to suck it up and deal with it a little bit. And everyone's got to calm down a little bit because it's been real vicious in social media. So just, you know something, just ride it out and see where it gets. And don't look for playoffs because I didn't think we were going to get there, and it's becoming more and more evident now that it's going to be a really hard fight.
Right on, man. This is the Ranger, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, post-game overtime loss to the Coyotes. So RP, Lou joined us. Shout out to Lou on the conversation. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode. Hopefully you have more positive things to say. If we see positive things on the ice, then we'll talk about it. And we'll have a nice dialogue, of course, Ranger Proud and myself, man. For real, man. RP, continue the great articles for Elite Sports New York and the Bleed Blue Show. Sangre Azul. RP, good talking, man. Bleed Blue.
You too.
Yes, sir. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.